All right, welcome back. We are going to reconvene post-council meeting. It's 12:30. So item number six on our agenda is new training model testing review, and we'll turn the time over to Lieutenant Buck to go over that with us.
Good afternoon, Council. Thank you for being patient, and I knew we thought this might be a little bit of a longer Council meeting, but it seems to be running pretty fast. Before I start this review, I want to express some appreciation and thanks to the Post-Curriculum Council, or committee, who's been heavily involved with this. John Jacobs, Chris Fielding, and Katie and Chelsea, who are on the curriculum team. They are the a lot of the impetus behind this and the information behind this. So to begin with, there's three things that we'd like to discuss. I'm going to combine if post-council is okay with it, number six, and then follow immediately by number seven. The first part is in discussion, review, and approval of the new integrated curriculum model, which includes the online foundations course. I also apologize. I also meant to recognize Dr. Sween because Weber State also had a huge part in helping us come up with this and the design and development of this as well. So with that said, we're going to review the integrated track and ask for your approval to begin the testing of this new model. And then we'll give you a timeline of what this may look like over the next year. And then we have our standard annual curriculum review that we need to do and approve for this upcoming year, fiscal year. So to begin with, the Foundations program is a online 1 week, 40-hour online program. It will be a prerequisite to be able to attend the academy. This course has, and you should have in your packets, this document which kind of discusses some of the benefits of the Foundation program. The bottom line is it's to give some foundational knowledge about the peace officer curriculum prior to the start of the actual academy. This will begin with session 395. The goal is to begin with session 395 here at the end of June, and then with a planned rollout to all the academies by fiscal year 2027, assuming that things go well and we can verify that the data makes sense to keep doing it. The core benefit of it is that it provides some consistency plus some flexibility to the agencies specifically. This gives the agencies an opportunity to offer this course online prior to them ever starting the academy and not having to wait necessarily for a specific academy. In there, you will see the classes that have been modified and included in the Foundations course, and we'll go over that in here in 1 second. The integrated SFO LEO model portion is a 14-week academy, and that's going to reduce the current academy from 17 weeks down to, if we include the online foundations course, to 15 weeks. And we'll discuss on how we saved the time savings on the academy itself. The new integrated model's focus is to be more hands-on application, more competency-based, skill-based, and the integration of all the things that they're learning into every class that they are completing. So instead of a model of where they are being siloed into one lecture, right, that course would also include hands-on experience, bring in law, mental health, wellness, DT, all the skills into one course repetitively. And that is scheduled the same thing to, we're evaluating it from now until July fiscal year, through the end of the year, fiscal year, and then trying to implement that beginning July 2027. So with that said, this is kind of the breakdown in the hours. So you can see how we saved some of the hours. I know typically we have come to you in the past and asked for more hours in training. We are grateful to say, hey, we think we found some ways to save some time and still be more efficient or be more effective. Those hours are primarily coming from a lot of strategic integration, and we can discuss that a little bit more, but the bottom line is where we're implementing, integrating certain skills within the classes. For example, the speech class, A lot of that is now going to be integrated in practical exercises, so we don't need time to have a separate speech class that we're working on. So 35 of those hours came from this strategic integration. 5 hours are coming from some administration orientation reduction because we're not doing a SFO and LEO repeat every time. And then the academic and skills testing is where we save some hours because of the integration of the SFO-LEO block. We're not duplicating some tests and exit tests and DT tests because of the combination there. So the bottom line is the academy now will be reduced from 652 hours to 600 hours, 560 being LEO academy hours and in-person hours, and 40 hours currently in foundations of the online portion. So with the foundations courses, you've included in the packet, so there is a breakdown of what the foundations courses look like. That's what this picture is up there. I know it's not, you can't read it well. That's why we made sure you had a copy. But the bottom line is you can see what is included in the online foundations courses. So John and Chris and Dr. Sween's team from Weber State, they've been working on developing the online training module for this. And we will be kicking off the first week here on June 29th. The primary changes that we will need to have approval on are the Foundations 1010 Professional Communication class. They removed the public speaking objective because, again, that was integrated into the LEO block, the SFO-LEO block combination in the in-person academy. Foundations 1040 Intro to U.S. and State Constitution removed some discussion about historical statehood, polygamy, and Third Amendment references. And the Ethics 1040 Bias-Free Policing removed the IET completion requirement, which was the test that we gave to the cadets that said, hey, you might have some implicit biases that they could see. And then Ethics 2010 and 2020, those two classes were moved to foundations for all tracks, the SFO, LEO, and BCO components, and then the core 1110 officer wellness and resiliency, it's been redesigned as a whole to be integrated throughout all of the SFO, LEO block track, in-person track. So for this new testing period, this is the changes that we are going to be requesting that the council approve for the curriculum. For the LEO integrated track portion, the class changes that were made, and that's in this packet that says LEO integrated LEO track transition. There's a little bit more just because of the length of time, but the bottom line is that we created a couple new courses. Again, this all fits within the 600 hours or the total 600 hours. There's a Foundations 2010 and a Foundations 2020 course, Intro to Scenarios and Physical Training, because we are going to be spending some more time on scenario training as well as physical training, and so they wanted some information that we want to make sure the cadets are fully aware of. And then we're revising the standards relative to the wellness classes because of our LEMHAW grant that we have, and we're going to be implementing. We've been in practicing it a little bit in our current classes, but we want to fully integrate it into this new model where we discuss individual crisis response plans as well as provide them a practical toolkit that they can use, and then we'll be practicing and using that throughout the entire 14-week academy. The other courses are part of their integrated modules. The report writing, like I said, is being integrated there's other parts of the report. There's a report writing class where the writing is going to be integrated into scenarios, DT scenarios, regular scenarios, traffic law class where they have to get up and also do presentations. The EMR emergency medical classes are combining our first aid CPR classes to remove a lot of the redundancies as well as to put more practical in there. And then the defensive tactics, we will have a discussion about that and a full presentation on that in September, the next post-council, about the new revisions in the defensive tactics curriculum. But that has reduced a number of testing hours, and we're finding some pretty good results, but we'll present that here in September. And then conflict management has been reduced from 4 classes down to 3 classes. And then the other changes that we are asking for approval today is because of the transition, this new SFO-LEO combination, we're asking for some renaming and renumbering of these classes that we have listed here. At the end of the day, this curriculum that we're asking for approval on only applies to this academy, the primary post academy right now. We will test it here, and then if things look like we're seeing good results, we will expand it to some sponsored academies that are sponsored satellite academies, and I'll review that over the timeline. So with that said, any questions about the new foundations and the new LEO, SFO-LEO track module that we would like to begin to implement?
For the foundations course, what does that look like for the cadet? Is that all reading? Is it audio visual or the videos or what is that?
So this is where John and Dr. Sween from Weber, they have been working on making it a very interactive course. In fact, John wants to speak to it. He can go over it. I have seen some of it, but it is very involved. It has got AI involved where they have to interact with it. It will also include some cohorts getting together of as they get start and meeting and have discussions and review, as well as there will be an assessment test that eventually they will have to pass in order to join the academy. For right now, during the testing period, we're going to have them take the test, but they don't necessarily have to pass it to still join the physical academy. John, did you want to add anything more to that?
Thank you. And then they only need SFO. Is that going to change with this new curriculum, or what does that look like?
So great question. So that's one of the aspects that we're still working on. We have talked with some of the agencies, especially the sheriff's offices, that still want the SFO portion. And so we are developing I call it an off-ramp, that if they do only want to have SFO, that opportunity will still be there.
You said they don't have to pass, and I understand why, because it's in the database, but we're not telling them that, are we?
No, we're not. Okay. No, we're collecting data on it right now. Okay. So right now it's scheduled to be the first attempt we're doing, it's scheduled for them to take that test in person on day one of the physical academy. After that, we're going to be having the agencies proctor that test we'll collect the results for CADIS.
I just want to respond to Chief Adams' question. Some of us who are on the curriculum subcommittee had an opportunity to access that online training. I thought it was very well done. It was pretty interactive. It gave some scenarios, and cadet would have to respond to scenarios as if they were talking to a FTO. So I think it's pretty interactive and will be pretty interactive for those new officers.
I'm just concerned about when you set somebody in front of a computer for 40 hours.
Yeah.
Clicking the box or I got to get this done, how much of that is going to be pulling them in, so that's good to hear.
Yeah. Based upon the parts that I have seen so far, if they're not paying attention and interacting well with it, they probably aren't going to pass the test. Right. So, I mean, they have to be engaged. And then I think in addition to that, the discussions that we will have throughout that week will also facilitate that retention of knowledge.
I think John did tell me that I failed that course that I went through.
Yes, sir.
So similar to his question about SFO, right now for the sheriffs that have jails and for us as the Department of Corrections, we send a lot of our folks after they're corrections certified to just the LEO block. Will there be a halfway point there, or is if you're already SFO, BCO, you're going to have to essentially do the SFO block over again as part of this integrated track?
So that's a great question. So currently right now during this test phase, we have call it an LEO on-ramp, right? They can actually join us after the third week of the physical academy begins, kind of like we have right now where they're joining us on the LEO block. In order to do that, the requirement is they still have to take the LEO entrance exam, right? And they obviously still have to take pass the LEO PT entrance test. With that said, I've reached out to all the agencies and discussed with them that are currently in the 395 block. and had this discussion about, hey, here's what we're doing, here's why we would like to do it. We're encouraging them to join us in week two. They don't have to take necessarily the foundations, because I think they lose a lot of the camaraderie and the team building that goes on. Additionally, and this is anecdotal, and I don't have hard numbers on it because it's a little bit difficult to track, but what we're finding is, and especially in this last class, is that over half of our failures, especially comes to the benchmarks, are the folks that are joining us in that Leo block, because they don't, as much as we hope that they're remembering it, they don't use it every day, and so they're not remembering it very well. And so they're struggling to keep up in the academy. And our goal is that we will see less failures and that they'll be able to be successful throughout the whole LEO curriculum. But in answer to your question, yes, currently there is an on-ramp option. We are working on that. Eventually, I think the goal would be is like we would try like to eliminate that part. However, we also understand that there might be a need, and so we still keep that as well.
Just one other question, and some of it goes back to Chief Adams' question on the foundations course. If most of it's self-paced, self-led, AI interactive, those things, if they're going to be tested on it and potentially be dismissed from the academy if they fail, will they have a chance to ask questions or do something interactive with a real instructor before they take that test?
So let me clarify. They are not dismissed from the academy. This is the goal of the foundations is to be set up as a prerequisite that pretty much anybody could take as long as they meet. I think we're leaning towards a very simplified background, right? Like, so currently right now, there's a very extensive background that they have to do in order to even join the academy. This is designed to be kind of like a, what do you guys call it? John, what is it called? Like a concurrent enrollment type of program, right? So that individuals that might be interested can take it sooner, like in their junior, senior year of high school, or allow the unit satellite academies to offer it as a course. So they aren't necessarily failed out of the academy, they just could not attend that until they do pass it. I don't know if that answers that question.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, I'm just picturing a bunch of these folks that we're all hiring. If they haven't taken it in high school or whenever, and if there's any kind of grace period, it's got to be within the last year or whatever the criteria is. If they do this 40 hours and then the following Monday they plan on starting the academy, but they fail the test and you're now saying you didn't pass, you can't come. I think there's going to be a lot of agencies going, well, what do we do now? So I just want to make sure, in fairness to the people we're hiring, that they have a chance to say, hey, I had a review, I was able to ask my questions of a real person, whatever that is, so that we set them up for some kind of success coming in the door.
I think some of the meetings that they're going to have throughout that week will give them some opportunity to review the material and ask questions. Again, it is online, but at the same token, we did not want it to be 100% online where they had no interaction with post staff or whoever is teaching those classes. So the idea is that there should be some meeting where they can ask questions. The ones that we're talking about where the foundations class is immediately prior to the academy, yeah, there's that possibility, there could be that risk, but the goal would be is that you use this as a tool to either for the agencies themselves to determine, hey, is this somebody I really want to continue to attend the academy and take it prior to, well before even the academy would start, right? And we understand that takes time. We understand that this is not going to happen overnight, that people are taking this foundations course, only 1 week before. But the goal is at the end is that they would have taken it with a lot of time before, to give you the opportunity to say, hey, is this somebody that we want to bring on? Or if they come to you and say, hey, I've already taken it, this is my commitment to you, saying, I want to do this profession, I've taken this serious. So,
okay. So we can even do it as part of a hiring process if we wanted to.
It should. The goal is to make it available to you pretty much anytime.
And will the same post rules apply if they fail, they'll get a second chance?
Yes, we're still working through some of those. Again, we're going to kind of depend on what we see on the results, but eventually, yes, we are big on second chances. So, any other questions? If not, go ahead.
Question. So, was there any thought or consideration given to, once this is tested and tried, to opening this up to agencies to have some of their officers maybe take these two-hour courses? I'm speaking in a timely manner here. We're bumping up against the end of a reporting year for officers' training hours, and some of them are lacking a couple hours here or a couple hours there. Is this foundation course something that Post would be willing to put out to agencies to allow their officers to take a two-hour course? Or?
So the idea is to make it available so that any agency could use it for their officers if they want, right, as training. Right, as long as it meets your requirements other than the state mandated requirements, right, as long as it meets your training requirements, yes. And I apologize. Thank you for bringing that up, because I know John mentioned that specifically in his document, that this was designed to be also be available as in-service course. Thank you.
So, Lieutenant, you need a vote of approval from the body.
Yes, please.
So we'll need a motion to approve the foundation program and the curriculum changes that you've outlined for us.
Or the new training module, yes.
The new training module.
And you said this is a beta testing, so you're going to, will you bring this back to the council at some point and say, these are the results and now we want to implement it statewide, or?
Yes, sir. In fact,
is that your intent?
In fact, I would argue, we would probably say in December we might bring some of it back to just give you an update, but then the final approval would be at the June meeting in 2020, what year are we in? 2027. Right. So yes, it is a testing period, and I'll go over the kind of the outline of what that timeline looks like, but yes, at the end of the day, it still needs to come back to Post Council.
Before you take your vote, I, being a subcommittee member and 35 years in education for me, I have thoroughly enjoyed the work that John and Lieutenant Buck and their committee has done putting this together. As I look at the standards of training and the hours that they're aligning with the standards, and I sit here not as an officer in your positions, but as an educator, listening to all the cases that we've heard over the last 5 years for me, I look at the standards and I'm thinking, okay, it's being covered in the violations that your officers are committed out there in the world. The curriculum, in my opinion, is being covered to help support them, and hopefully we will see less and less cases as these officers take more of a responsibility in accepting their jobs the way they need to, because they are out there as protectors and supporters of their community. But if they fall short of that, I think what they have done is certified to the best of their abilities how these standards will help improve their decision making while they are on the job. Because all of the cases I'm hearing, they are not making good decisions, right? And so I'm a big proponent of what they have done here, making it interactive online versus face-to-face. That interactive and face-to-face, you are serving two types of learners there. Learners that are face-to-face learners, learners that are online learners, and trying to mesh them together to provide them with the best educational option they can do to survive what you all are responsible in doing. And I'm a big proponent of that, so thank you, you and your committee. John and your committee, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Looking for a motion.
So you're looking for a motion to approve the
foundation block. Course and the associated curriculum, right?
And yep, and the integrated training model for the physical in-house academy.
Do we have a second? Jeanetta Williams. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Passes.
Thank you, Council. So just quickly, this is the implementation timeline. Phase one will be from July 1, well, it actually starts June 29th with the 1 week foundations. Through December, this is where we'll have a 1 week online and a 14-week in-person academy. And phase two, we are looking at adding some courses to the online portion. So the goal is to be about a 2 week online and 13-week person academy. Again, depending on how it works on the first phase. And then we want to include the sponsored satellite academies. We've had discussions with Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, Salt Lake City, to try to implement this in their academies since they are sponsored academies. And then we, at the end of the phase two, we will present to Post Council our results and let you know how, what it looked like, and ask for approval to go on implementing it all to phase three, which is to all self-sponsored satellite academies.
Leave. Is any of this information going to be posted on the website? And are there a lot of other sheriffs and chiefs who are interested in what's going on or what's going to be happening? And
thank you. I forgot to mention that. So on the portal, the post portal, there is, Julie, is that correct? The post portal? Yeah. On the post council portal? Yes. On the post council portal. All this information, including the ins and outs, the details of all the class changes, the verbiages, I mean, every line by line, how the integrations, it's all specifically listed there. And please, if you have any questions at any time, you're welcome to give me a call, John a call, or any of the curriculum team a call, and we'll be able to answer those questions for you.
Well, I'm just curious if it's going to be on the general website for those who don't have access to the post council portal, that the other chiefs and sheriffs in the state can have an idea of what the plan is moving forward.
We'll make sure it's available to them. We'll figure out how to do that. Moving forward, this is to request approval for post council approval to certify to for the 2027 curriculum. This is for the primarily the satellite academies now, because we're doing a slightly different curriculum. But in there is no changes or requests for the SFO block. Under the LEO track, there is some changes requested to the traffic law class. We have changed that class to a 1 hour online interactive training and a 4 hour practical. So what that looks like basically is that for the 4 hours, we send them out, look for violations, look for equipment violations, so actually practice the things that we're trying to teach them about in the law, and then have them come back, do a presentation, defend their position, explain how they understand the code. All right, so that's the change that we've made to the traffic law class. We've been testing this for quite a bit, for about a year now, and with a lot of good results and a lot of interaction with the cadets during this time. Then on the INTOX 2020 class, we had brought this up to post council last time. There was some questions about certain laws and some verbiage that were brought up, and we have resolved those. So we're presenting that back to be implemented as a change into the curriculum. And then the Patrol 2040 class, Building, Clearing, and Safety Tactics, and Patrol 2050, Immediate Response Tactics, we are adding the assailant response method grid mapping, which was approved by the school safety department, where they are asking that this be implemented throughout all agencies. So we are just teaching that concept to all the officers so they have it when they go out into the field. So that's the LEO changes that we are asking for. On the BCO side, I want to give appreciation to all those that were involved, heavily involved with the BCO updates. Besides UDC, Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, I believe Davis County Sheriff's Office there, Iron County, sorry, I have the list here somewhere. There was a number of agencies that got together and asked, hey, we would like to update the BCO curriculum. And they, along with Katie Colton, have spent a significant amount of time updating the classes, making sure that we've eliminated redundancies. At the end of the day, there is no reduction in hours. It is still the same hours as before, but here are some of the changes. In Core 3010, vendor supervision, it combines 3130 and 3010 together. Core 3120, institutional security. And by the way, I should mention that the curriculum, the BCO curriculum, is the one that that put all this together. This was with the input of all these different agencies that were involved throughout the state. Core 3120, institutional security, combines 3120 along with Core 3040 and Core 3200 into one class. And then Core 3190, Introduction to Restrictive Housing. It's updated Introduction to Restrictive Housing to focus on principle-based concepts rather than agency-specific concepts. One of the discussion points during these committee meetings was to ensure that we weren't talking about things that were specific only to, like, UDC or to Sheriff's Office, you know, or to Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, that it met the requirements of all the agencies that were part of this group. And then MHT 2030, Suicide Prevention and Crisis Management. This was a course developed on the recommendations from the Division of Correctional Health Services. So again, attached to this is, you can see, as with all the other classes, you can see in red are the changes that were made and where those hours were moved to. So with that said, if there's any questions about these changes. And again, this is for the curriculum, the standard curriculum that we give out to all the satellite academies for fiscal year 27. We're asking you to approve these changes.
And these VCO changes will be implemented at the UDC Academy as well.
Sure.
I'm guessing, yes. Yes. Any discussion, questions? Okay, then I think we need a motion to approve these annual curriculum changes for Satellite Academy curriculum.
Sure, I'll make a motion to adopt that. And I would just say to Lieutenant Buck and the rest of our team and the other counties that worked on this, it was a collaborative process, and we're grateful for the way that it came about and for the work that went into it.
Thank you. Second?
Yes.
Second by Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is the open meeting training. Our attorney, Richard Jorgensen.
We're the last thing in the day. So this is the annual training that's required by the chair to make sure that the members of the council get. Open public meetings is in Title 52, Chapter 4. It is to guarantee that there are open, that the government conducts the business of the state open and public, so the public can see what's going on. Their intent is that the state, its agencies, and its political subdivisions take their actions openly and conduct their deliberations openly. In order to satisfy OPMA, the actions of the board must be open and transparent. We must give public notice. We must make and keep a record of it and have a process to allow participation of the public or the people involved. A public body is created by statute. This one is, it consists of two or more individuals and is supported by tax money and has the authority to make decisions regarding the public business. The council is that because we do sanction police officers. A meeting is a gathering of the public body with a quorum present. For a quorum present, this as must be 13. The meeting must be called by an individual with authority to convene the public body, following the process to convene the public body, and with the express purpose to receive public comment, deliberate, or take action on a relevant matter. That's important because the definition several years ago was that a meeting was any time a quorum assembled. So now if you all show up at a conference, it's not a meeting unless it was specifically called by someone with authority to do so, and you're going to do post-council business. excuse me. The notice requirements are that it must be 24 hours public notice. The notice must be posted to the Utah's public notice website or the agency website, and it must have a reasonably specific agenda. Julie does a really good job of keeping track of all that for you, so you don't have to worry about it. If we do need an electronic meeting, we can have that. We haven't had that since COVID. It works much better if we're here. We fall under the Department of Public Safety's administrative rules for an electronic meeting, and we must provide an anchor location or have a way for the public or people involved to speak to us. We cannot take action on any topic unless it's been listed on the agenda item and included in the public notice. The chair does have discretion to hear matters outside of the agenda, but no action can be taken on it. And Members of this body cannot act outside of the meeting to predetermine the action to be taken. In the unlikely event we have to have an emergency meeting where we cannot give 24-hour notice for, we can assemble a quorum, and then we have to record in the minutes why we could not give 24 hours notice and the reason we had to have an emergency meeting. The records that must be kept of an open meeting are written minutes and recordings. The written minutes must be taken, and recordings must be kept of both open meetings and closed unless we close it for the physical or mental health of a person. When we close a meeting, if we do not have a recording, the chair must sign an affidavit that says the sole purpose for the closed meeting was to discuss one of those topics, and this board typically does under character competence or mental or physical health. There are statutes. There are meetings that must be closed by statute, but they do not apply to this body. During a closed meeting, the only thing you can do is take a vote to open the meeting. To close a meeting, you must have a quorum present. Two-thirds of the body present must vote to close a meeting. And we must state on the record the reason for closing the meeting and the vote by each member for or against closing the meeting to the public. During the meeting, we can propose and discuss resolutions, but we cannot take final action on it. The only action you can take, officially vote in a closed meeting, is to reopen the meeting. Again, in the reopening meeting, we restate the motion, and then we can take action on that. The audio recording is a complete and unedited recording of all portions of the open meeting from start to finish. The recordings shall be available within 3 days to the public and posted on the website. Pending minutes shall be available within 30 days after the meeting. And then, like today, after we voted on approving the minutes, they will be reposted within 3 days after the vote to state that they are approved minutes. And violations of this, a person knowingly and intentionally violates or aids or abets the violation of a closed meeting provision is a Class B misdemeanor. A court can void actions we take if we violate the Open and Public Meetings Act. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Jorgensen. I think that's the end of our agenda. Are there any other items of discussion from any members of the council? The next item then is just to schedule our next meeting. Generally, I think we meet in September. Looking at my calendar, how does Wednesday, the 16th of September, look for council members and for post? 16th? Anybody have any issues with September 16th? Going once?
That's interim for legislative session, so I can make it work if we need to, but week before would be slightly better.
I could do the 10th. I would not be available on the 9th, the Thursday the 10th. It's Thursday the 10th of September. Any issues with that? Okay, great. We'll schedule it for 10 o'clock on the 10th of September. And then we'll just need a motion to adjourn. We'll be done. We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.